You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone cold, don't you know you are my heartache?
Boom, my name is Sabrina Jalise, and you are listening to My Sexy Podcast. Hit it, Mateo.
I didn't know what I was supposed to do.
Sponsored by Jewish people.
Oh, got it. Are you Jewish?
No.
Okay.
But that was the jingle for Jew.
Oh, because Whitney Houston never said you. If you listen to live recordings of I Will Always Love You, she goes, and I will always love Jew. She always says Jew.
That's why she made it into business.
Because she basically, she loved Jews, made her famous.
I was talking that Whitney Houston, if she never would have met Bobby Brown, would be at this podcast.
No, do you know that she started doing coke in the 80s with her brother? That's who got
her
started. Yeah.
It was on the
It was on the Oprah interview with Sissy Houston, which, by the way, was way too honest. Also, Whitney was a lesbian.
Whitney was fully a lesbian for
sure.
Well,
here's the thing. Is like her mom wrote in the book, she was like, you know, I didn't understand her relationship with her friend Robin, but I didn't like her being around. And then Oprah was like, you know, would it have bothered you if she was a lesbian? And she said, yes.
Yes.
And so
I remember this.
Yeah. So you get the feeling that she was a lesbian and her mother very much disapproved of it. And that's where all the drugs and turmoil came through.
Oh my God. Guys, so. I'm talking to Mateo Lane right now, who, let's just say,
how did we also just like met each other?
We did
by
just
the way.
Meet each other. Sometimes you do a show and then someone goes on stage and you get big boner for friendship with them, and then you say, "I'm gonna just start a podcast so that I can solidify putting this friendship boner into this man's world."
Oh yay!
Yeah, you're so funny.
Oh thanks. So are you?
So you started in Chicago? Now you're here.
I did. I started 2.5 years ago in Chicago.
Oh my God, dynamo!
And then I moved here September of 2013, 12, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And then so now.
But then also, when I'm looking about you online, as I did the night I met you, do you do that with people when you? I don't know if it's because I was gay and I like misunderstood what I misplaced love with friendship, but like I will get weird about friends, like where I'll just get like, so I saw you on stage and then I was like, I'm gonna look this guy up.
Well, if I think a guy is cute too, I'll Facebook stalk him to the death.
To the death.
You'll
get to the end of the Facebook.
I mean, like 2 minutes. If I don't find him, like, that's it. I'm going back to Mariah Carey videos on YouTube. But, yeah. I mean, you know, to me, that's, like, searching to the death. But, like, mutual friends, something. But, yeah, I do that. I mean, when I see another comedian who I think is super funny, I'm friends with, like, Amber Nelson and Evan Williams. They're, like, my best friends. And I also think they're, like, the funniest people in the world. So I think it just happens, right? You find each other and you just become friends.
Okay, well, I hope you consider me.
Yeah, of course. We're going to hang out. You're going to find me Dave Franco.
I'm looking up Dave Franco right now because Mateo said Dave Franco, that's your ideal.
That's him or Rafael Nadal.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that. Even though he's got like monkey face, but I'm into it.
But body, like his body's just
his
being
butt.
Conditioned to...
There's Tumblr pages dedicated to Rafael Nadal's butt.
I used to want to be a tennis player.
Did
little
you?
Throw out there.
Wait a minute. How long have you been in New York for?
I moved here like 5 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Why aren't there as many lesbian comics? And it was run.
I murdered them. That was the first
that's
4 years.
That's what happened?
I've only been, the first 4 years I was focusing on murdering other lesbians.
No, be honest. When I went on stage,
not more? Are you joking?
No, I'm serious
like
because
currently.
And in Chicago it was run by lesbians. Run by lesbians.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? And then I came to New York and it's like, why aren't there more? Well, first of all, there's like not as many gay people in general. Do you know what I mean?
Lesbians want to be able to corner a market, so they all went to Chicago to run shit.
I guess so. But then they left Chicago and all went to LA.
Cameron
and Ever Maynard.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of lucky that way.
I mean, most people think I'm Katie Lang when I get on stage. They're like, oh my God, I love Constant Craving. And she should have shaved. I love Katie Lang. I've seen her twice in concert. I love her.
Is she Canadian? No, she's not.
She's Canadian.
She is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's so, a big old so lesbian from Canada.
So am I, Mateo.
You're from Canada?
Yeah.
You're from Canada. Where in Canada? I don't know.
But also, you're an opera singer.
I am.
Tell me that. I'm going to tell you, I'll trade you. This is how I do conversation.
Got
I'll
it.
Trade you effect for effect.
All right, yeah.
Okay. I'm from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, so you don't speak French.
Oui, je parle français.
Tu parles français?
Oui, parce que...
Mais oui, pourquoi parce que tu parles français?
Ma mère vient de la Suisse, alors je devrais apprendre français, donc je peux parler avec ma grand-mère.
Ah, c'est très bien.
Oui, et toi, pourquoi toi?
Mais je parle français parce que je suis italien, je peux parler italien, j'ai un ami du Bordeaux, un village français, je pratique avec elle chaque chute de la fin. Yeah.
Holy shit. We just lost all of our English speaking listeners.
Everyone's like,
listeners,
fuck it!
But we've never had more French is a
French
second
people.
Language
The tens
listeners.
Of the twelves of French people are very happy that that happened.
You're welcome.
But I speak Italian, that's why.
You speak Italian. Okay, so mm-hmm. tell me a little bit about you.
I am from Chicago. I'm the youngest of three. Mm-hmm. My older brother's gay. My cousin is gay.
Yeah.
And my dad's real proud.
What about middle brother?
My sister, my middle sister, who is not a lesbian, but she acts more. I mean, she acts like one. She goes hunting. Like she's like into fitness and stuff. No, she's too girly. Do you know what I mean? Like she's too boy crazy and stuff. But yeah, I grew up in a very large Italian family. Grew up next to all my cousins. There's like 22 of us, and we're all the same age basically. And they're my best friends. And my gay cousin's my best friend. And
I think big family makes comedian.
Yeah, because you just, I mean, everyone says the same stupid story. It's like, well, you sit around the dinner table and you have to compete. But it's like, well, yeah, you kind of do. I mean, like every Sunday night, well, like three times out of the week, like the cousins and I were always together. But we would sit down at a table and I have a million Italian aunts who are the funniest people.
Yeah.
So yeah, of course. I mean, my act is basically me impersonating my Aunt Cindy. You know what I mean? It's like, she's the funniest person to me. So that's true.
Aunt Cindy?
Yeah, my Aunt Cindy's so funny.
Okay, cool. We'll try and get them on the line later. Tease to
get
later.
Get them on the line!
Get them on the line!
But yes, but I'm also Mexican and Irish and Italian.
Holy
That's my
shit.
Ethnicity.
You're just killing it. You're
That's
a crusher.
All, and I'm lonely.
No, you are?
I'm I'm lonely.
No, but you're so everything special.
Yeah, but gays are like, we need more muscle.
You've got so much muscle.
That's very nice of you to say.
No, you. I
appreciate it.
He's holding a Starbucks.
I also have the smallest shirt in the world on.
Yeah, but also gays. All the gays I know love like a little body.
Do you think so?
Like a little. Yeah, they don't want big muscle. They want like a little lean cuisine like you.
Lean cuisine. Yeah. I'm full of salt. I feel like, yeah. I mean, you know what my problem is? Like I can get guys that are like above, like out of my league. Do you know what I mean? Like really good looking.
Good one.
But I'm not confident in relationships. Like I just immediately like collapse.
Have you ever been in a long-term one?
I was in a 2-year relationship a couple years ago. That was the longest one I ever
had. That's so interesting because you're such a confident person.
On stage.
No, but like right now in this situation, honestly, sometimes when you hang out with someone, for me, when I hang out with someone who's like super butch, I'll get more femme. And for you, like you have a confidence that I'm just like, fucking let's go. Like,
oh, you
yeah,
really? Oh, that's
totally.
Nice of you to say.
No, for real.
I'm the same way though.
Like,
I will shrink based on someone else. Like if I'm with, for example, my friend Patrick Powers, who runs a podcast in Chicago.
Yeah.
He, for some reason, when I'm around him, I can't think as fast. I sort of shut down because he's so on top of it. I become an audience member. But then there's other people where I know that I'm going to dominate the conversation. So, but this is good because you're very confident.
I'm having it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm three episodes in, so I
really?
Don't. Yeah, my penis is very small.
Who did you have on before me?
Nikki Glaser, Claudia Kogan. Bam!
Yeah, that's pretty
Mateo
good.
Mateo Lane.
I love Claudia. You know, I've never met Nikki.
Never?
I still, like, haven't met people.
She was at my house this morning. Last week I met up with her. She's my, like, best friend in comedy. I found
She's
her on
funny.
MySpace. Super funny. Yeah, it was a good investment.
Yeah.
Bought low. Selling high.
Wait a minute. I think I knew about you when I first moved here because my friend Lisa Traeger and Megan Gailey.
Yeah, I was talking to Lisa about you right before I did a show with you.
Did they go to your house high and watch wedding videos?
Yes, they did. good.
Okay, that's how I know you. They're obsessed with you because they came home. They took like a gypsy cab home and then they were like, oh my God. So like we met this lesbian and she's like a comic and she's like really funny. And then we like watch wedding videos and we're like, okay, they're in love. And like we were really into it. And I'm
that,
really
okay, high. Okay, so that was a situation too where like different dynamics affect each other. Like where they were young comics that were funny. And I'm, you know, I mean, she's a couple years younger, but in my life, I just felt like, little ladies, come on over here with your tiny little dresses. Let me show you what life's about. And then I just like brought them to my house and like fed them food and made them watch my wedding video.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've heard about you. And then Michelle Wolf loves you.
Yeah.
So there.
Are you goodies with Michelle Wolf?
Love Michelle Wolf.
Yeah.
I love her. We were texting each other this morning about her hair.
Perfect. Her hair is a gift.
Well, she straightened it for that Seth Meyers thing, which she was so funny. And then I texted her. I was like, is it straight? I want to see it straight. And she's like, I just washed it. It's curly again. I'm like, damn.
It just doinks back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boing.
Oh, my goodness. So then, okay, more about your life and eventually secrets.
Oh.
I feel like we're kind of getting close to
a secret. Do you know what my day job is?
You're illustrating amazing things.
Okay, yeah.
MatteoLaneArt.com.
Or Matt Lane Art. That's my...
MattLaneArt.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amazing, brilliant things. Album covers and probably a bunch of comics always say to you, come on, Matteo.
Yeah,
do
but
my poster.
Sometimes. Well, I'll only say yes sometimes. Well, sometimes I'm also really busy.
That's just what you, yeah.
I've had a lot of shows this month, and I have a 9-to-5, so I'm like, time.
Must be, are you on the verge of maybe, in terms of the 9-to-5, where, like, because you have a real career 9-to-5. It's not like a lot of people, a lot of comics will get jobs. Guys, let me explain something to you. A lot of comics will get jobs that make them want to kill themselves during the day, but they're like, oh, one day I'll get out. But it sounds like maybe you are, during the day, you're like, this is very fulfilling.
Yeah, no. I mean, I love my day job and I love my coworkers, but I have been having, especially as in like the past couple of months, so I just got a manager and a lot of stuff is starting to change quickly. And so I'm taking a lot of time off work and they're very much like, you know, like I've had to like sit down with them and be like, you know, we have to talk about my job. And so I think we'll see how this goes. I mean, I could end up never doing comedy again and living under a bridge. Or, you know, I might have to go back on freelance, total freelance with them. So
but that's actually, with drawing, that must make sense.
Yeah. Time. And it also feels good because it's like one thing that, like, you know, like I moved here a year ago. I was like, it just seemed like it would be like a hobby. And now it's, you know, so it's exciting.
Oh, you're so good at it. But also, you as a, so when you said, because when I read about you being an opera singer, what were you? That was your job?
No, I studied opera. I studied voice with a guy named Nicola Falco in Chicago.
And that's like a sounds like a real.
He's an Italian.
But there's like people in the opera world listen to that and they're like, what?
No, I mean he was just like, you know, there's sometimes teachers aren't necessarily the best singers. Do you know what I mean?
They're just great at you.
Right. So, but like, he's a great singer. I don't know why I said that. But I had a...
Let's call him.
I had sort of a natural pickup with singing very quickly. So he took on to me and we trained. And I kind of fought him because I was like, I don't want to sing opera. I want to sing jazz. I want to be Mariah Carey. But I took, you know... You do a lot of, before I studied with him, I studied with a woman named Jolene who taught me breathing, which means like lay on the floor and learn how to breathe through a straw and breathe through your diaphragm and do really weird vocal warm-ups and stuff, which I still do today. I warm up like in the shower in the morning to keep my voice like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Because you'll lose it very quickly, so. I sing every night on stage, so.
You gotta.
I know, and last week I lost my voice, and so I felt like I went into battle without like any weapons. It's terrible.
You still got your hands, boo.
Yeah, but they can't sing.
Yeah, that's true.
I can just do jazz hands.
So you're stretching thin. Let's get some drama in here. You're on the verge of a breakdown.
No, I feel great.
No, you're on the verge of a fucking breakdown. Things are spiraling.
Well, I am pregnant, and I don't know how I got pregnant, but I am. I'm turning into Liza Minnelli. Well, my father was a director, and I'll never forget... The first thing my mother said to me, she said, Liza, call an ambulance. And I loved her. Frank Liotti. Do you know Frank Liotti?
Yeah, no, Frank.
Yeah, so him and I have become very good friends recently. Yeah, very good friends. Yeah. And so he just, he goes, okay, Liza time. So he'll ask me questions, and I just, we sit there for like an hour, and I just answer his questions with Liza.
Wait, how did you become friends with Frank Liotti?
We did.
He's the actor, Frank Liotti.
Yeah, but no, Frank Liotti, the comedian.
Oh my God, I thought you were talking about some man that I'm picturing in my mind as like an assassinator generally.
Frank Liotti.
Yeah. I thought you just like heavy name dropped.
Kate Winslet and I have been hanging out for months.
That's literally what I imagine. Like that's.
Oh, I'm not.
Wait, Ray Liotti is what I.
Yeah, you're thinking,
yeah,
yes.
I was totally
yeah.
thinking mm-hmm. that you were just like, by the way, Ray
I mean,
Liotti and I are
you know,
smoking
it's like no big deal. Like. It's no big deal. Michelle Obama and I the other day were shopping for tampons.
And she's always asking me to do Liza.
Yeah. I have a question. Let's talk. Can I ask you questions?
Yeah,
I'll slowly make this me interviewing you. But I like, how are you on like sensitivity of like the word faggot and all that other, you know what I mean?
When people say faggot?
Gay people.
Gay people saying it.
Like, because on stage, I will make a joke about it and I will talk about it. You know what I mean? And sometimes
yes.
I think straight comics will be like, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't
no,
not want
shut
people
up.
To say it.
Da, da,
da, da.
I've been thinking a lot, actually, about, like, activism. And, like, I've got a friend who basically said, like, if you're watching the Olympics, you are throwing gay people under the bus because of the persecution of gay people
mm-hmm.
in Russia. So maybe this is disconnected. First of all, I'll
answer. Well, I keep
so
yelling
the question-
I keep yelling at ABC on Twitter. First of all, I'm not preachy at all on stage. I'm, as you've noticed, but
yeah.
I do think it's so funny that, like, on Twitter, ABC News, like, seven times in a day, they were like, find out, here's a link and find out how to adopt Saatchi dogs, rescue the Saatchi dogs. I'm like, what about the gays?
No, it's
I was
true,
like,
because
dogs are supposed to live outside. What about the gay people?
It is really true.
It's embarrassing.
Like Michelle Wolf has that joke of like,
oh, so
the,
all the kids have been
yeah,
fed?
So
yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay, so the first, to answer the question directly, how do I feel about it? I mean, like, I think you could use that word. Like, I think actually, well, this is the same friend who's trans, and he said something, like, he Instagrammed something and said tranny, and people, like, turned on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I think, what is the point? What is the point that we're trying to get across in banning these words and all of this stuff? Is that, like, people should be treated equally, that we're all the same, that we, like, you know, like, I think when you get super hypersensitive, it's about the intention behind it. And
right.
obviously, as a gay person, when you say, like, faggot, like, that's your prerogative,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think, I wouldn't imagine you're doing it in, like, a self-hate way. It's like I should be able to say dyke on stage, of course.
No, that offends me. You can't say that.
Come on, please.
I'm the biggest Howard Stern fan, and I listen
yeah.
to him every single day. Dedicated.
I come from Stern.
But I do. I come from the Stern way where I think all words are brought on the table.
I wouldn't want to say the N-word, though.
And no, but they do, like, for example, they talk one time on the Stern show, they said every single ethnic slur you can possibly say, including the N-word. And the only word that got bleeped was the N-word. And Howard
yeah.
was trying to make a point. He's like, all of these words, you cannot specialize in one word. We have to treat everything equally, right? So, you know, that's a whole other topic. But what I'm saying is, like, I, for myself, there's a lot of gay comics who I think would think it's bad. You shouldn't use it. You shouldn't say it. But I disagree. And I'm also not even that offended when I hear straight people say it all the time.
It all depends,
you know?
And it's like, I mean, sometimes it's just, sometimes people will try to, like, get close to you in that way by being like, oh, yeah, I got lots of dyke friends. And it's like, well, actually,
yeah,
probably
that's,
not because yeah. they would have told you that.
One, they haven't left the house in months. they order their groceries online from some Fresh Foods rooftop in Brooklyn, and they have too many cats and kids to worry about it. So, no, they don't have dyke friends.
No. They, here, I feel like sometimes when you, like, you're fighting so hard and you actually come off, I guess the misconception, or, like, the stereotype about, like, lesbians is, like, they're so angry.
Mm-hmm.
They're angry and they're angry.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true to for who I surround myself with,
mm-hmm.
which is all lesbians.
Yeah.
That's probably the better stereotype.
You have just tons of lesbian friends?
Yeah,
well,
totally.
We should all hang out.
Yeah.
Because I have no lesbian friends here. And my best friends in Chicago are all Do you know Candy Lawrence?
No.
That is a lesbian comic in Chicago. One of my best friends. You need to look her up. After this, look her up immediately.
Her up right
because she is maybe the funniest person on the face of the planet.
Candy Lawrence. Looking her up. Yeah, I just think that you end up... when you're fighting for equality and fighting to be understood... And you get so aggressive and angry and sensitive about it, it ends up doing the opposite.
I agree.
So
I think, you know, like when I'm on stage, I always say, I'm never going to become preachy. It's better if I explain that, you know, if I'm, because a lot of people maybe are not comfortable with gay people or not even about likable, but like a lot of people are, not that they don't like gay people, but they're just not aware of it because they're not surrounded by gay people.
Yes.
If I can say, listen, we are in on the joke too. You know, as a gay person, I'm just as much of an idiot. We're more alike than we are different. If I can express that through jokes and humor, a lot of times people feel more connected rather than me separating myself and saying, how dare you? We are this. You know, I feel like
the
protestiness, it has its place, but I think on stage and comedy, we're supposed to make people laugh and we're supposed to, you know, talk about what it is that makes us more alike than it is than we are different, you know?
Yes.
And I hate people who applaud because I agree with that point. And enough for the applause. Let's laugh about it, you know?
That's my only way of getting applause breaks.
Really? Mine's singing. That's it. I have to sing three times to get three applause breaks.
I think that...
Did I make this not funny and I took it way too seriously immediately?
No, I'm trying to think about, this is what I think. When I go on the road, I used to never come out at colleges. I used to never come out. I started doing stand-up when I was 16 and I realized I was gay when I was 18. So in the beginning, like I had jokes when I first started doing stand-up that was like, you know when a guy likes you and you're really uncomfortable about it?
Oh God,
I mean,
really?
As soon as they like you, you just pull away, right? I literally had jokes like that. I'm like, oh, my boyfriend's calling. Better ignore him again.
My boyfriend's calling. My boyfriend, I mean, Tammy. I think anyone named Tammy is a lesbian. I stand by that. If your name is Tammy, I'm sorry. You're a lesbian. I don't care how many kids you have and how many men you've dated. Lesbian.
All right. Earth to Tammy. You gay girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your ethnic background?
I'm half Pakistani, half Swiss.
That's right. Okay.
That was the first part of my comedy.
Do you
speak
Pakistan? They don't speak. What do they speak?
Half Pakistani, half Swiss people speak.
No, people in Pakistan.
They speak Urdu.
Urdu? Do you speak any?
Thoda sa.
I don't. Hello.
Mujhe kya pata?
Mujhe
sab pata.
But do you speak it? Do you really speak it?
Yeah. Like I had a huge. So when you were talking about the Italian family thing, like I relate in terms of having this huge Pakistani family.
And do you still talk to all of them and hang out and stuff?
Well, interesting thing. I came out to them, then they broke up with me about a year ago. And applause break. Applause break. And then, I mean, so some of them have reconnected and others are like not.
I have to say one thing about my life that I'm very grateful for is that my whole family is, it's me being gay. And my cousin and my brother, like even my grandparents love it.
That's amazing.
It is. And you know, one time I did a show and it was in Chicago and my grandparents came. It was at a gay bar and my grandparents came and so did all my cousins. By the way, if you're Italian, you're crazy. And you know, I was making jokes about it and then some older man came up to me afterwards and he was like, you know, Smiley, you know, it's really nice to see that your family comes here. And I tried to rub it off shake it off as a joke. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're crazy. And he grabbed my arm and looked at me in the eye, and he was like, no, you really need to know how lucky you are.
Yeah.
And without, you know, that was it, but I got it.
He was telling you
the
story. Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah,
yeah,
I am, you know, because I talk to my grandparents three times a week, and it's never like, you know, how I'm talking to you is how I talk to them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's amazing, and my parents are awesome, and my in-laws are great, and it's amazing how some of my family has come around, but it was definitely like a shocking thing and a horrible thing, and really it's religion. It's like they are Muslim, and the more fundamental or more immersed in Islam they are, the harder it is to reconcile being okay with it.
Do you know who Christopher Hitchens is?
Nah, I know the name.
I don't know how you feel about religion, but...
I don't feel very much... Actually, I think the last episode, I called my dad and asked for his rundown on religion. It was
really?
Quite controversial. It's the God... His book is like, God, what God?
God is not great.
Yeah, God is
not even what God. It's more visceral. He hates religion. And I don't hate religion, but I think it's terrible.
I think
religion is terrible.
Yes.
Awful. I'm losing a lot of fans right now. The French people now hate me.
No,
religious people hate me. And
religion
lesbians.
Is great. Religion is great because obviously it encourages great behavior in some ways, in some interpretations. I know some people who take religion and use it to. I listen to the Jillian Michaels podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think, oh, this is like a sermon off the top. She's like, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing for fitness, and this is what I'm thinking about mental health. And then when you think about, I've been to church. A couple times. Research.
Which church? Which denomination? Which?
I've been to different... I've always dated white girls and sometimes...
Is that your type? White girls?
Yeah, white girls.
Is it?
I woke up like this. I don't know.
If I'm a quarter Mexican, am I white? I'm white.
You're white. You're a white girl.
I always scream that I'm Mexican. Like I go for like I go from a quarter, and if someone says anything bad about Mexicans, I go from a quarter to like full blown in a second. Like I get lip liner out, my nails grow, I get those shit fake eyebrows drawn on, I grease my hair back, and I become a full blown like Mexican
like
woman ready to
like superhero alter ego.
Yes, just like a. Full-blown, like, one of those really gross-looking Mexican women that you see.
I saw not a gross-looking one, but actually her heart was gross. Old man sort of knocked her as she was getting on the train, and she immediately went into, like, aggressive fight mode. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, now you didn't do that! Now you didn't do that! And he's, like, long gone.
She just wants to yell.
She was on the phone, so she was, like, performing her personality.
Oh, that's the best. I love if I'm not... even if I am involved with those crazy people in public, I want to watch.
Have you ever been in a physical fight?
No.
What about a fight with words?
I'm good. Yes, daily. Never. A daily fight with words.
Ooh, what about this creepiest thing in the world is when couples are like, we just never fight. Oh, that's a creepy doll couple.
I mean, a couple that says we just never fight, I'd be like, well, then what's the point?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's just boring. I don't even, you know what I was thinking about today? I'm like, I don't even know what it would be like to be in a relationship right now. It's been so long.
How long has it been?
It's been, I was 25 when we broke up, and I'm 27 now. So 3 years.
Okay, that's not that long.
But that's long for not having any relationship between then and now.
Were you broken? Hearted after?
Yeah, for like a year and a half.
He broke your heart.
Well, I think mutual.
Sorry to assume.
No, he was. It was a toxic relationship. The relationship itself. I broke up with him, and then of course we tried to get back together.
Yeah.
Everything about it was just.
It was just never easy.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't easy. I think that he was so insecure in himself that my natural personality was intimidating to him, and he would very much try to shrink that down. And by doing so, it would be like belittling
toxic
me and embarrassing me, and
yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
which is probably why.
I mean, people like I think extroverted people. I think there's a line between. Everyone I've ever been friends with, everyone I've dated, my parents, who I've dated both of them, so they fall under all the categories. But, like, they get to a point where they're like, Bina, Sabrina, shut up. Like, please, stop. But there's a difference between...
There's a difference between, like, musical theater, I'm annoying and screaming all the time, and one being their natural self.
Yes.
I think he was threatened by my natural self.
By your natural self,
yeah. And it would come to the point where, like, I would think of something funny to say. This is before I did stand-up.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he would call me, like, an attention whore and all this other kind of stuff. And he also might have been an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I mean, he just might have been an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Now he's dating someone in his early hundreds. So I don't know how that's going. But, I mean, we barely had sex as it was. I mean, that was
so
another...
So he found his ideal type.
Yeah, just like someone with a pile of dust for a dick. So I don't know what's happening with them right now. You know what I mean?
Really, how old is the person?
Oh, maybe in his like late 50s.
Really?
And he's like 29
Daddy.
Or 30. Yeah. But I think he's like
I
think he's like
vacations.
Very Yeah, I'm sure it's some of that. But he's not out to his family. I mean, all sorts of stuff,
all
you know? Which
to.
Now I look back and I'm like, what is wrong with you, Mateo? Like, what do you do? Like, wait, you wouldn't put up with that shit at all today. But, you know.
But that's why.
I was in love.
Yeah,
I just wanted to be in love.
And it was your first time.
It was my first time being in love.
Yeah, which is like crazy.
It's exciting. It really, in retrospect, was only good for a month.
Really?
But I stuck it in.
Stuck it out.
Yeah, I stuck it out and it was awful. But we had okay sex. He gave terrible head.
Ooh.
Which, you know what I mean? Like, that was the one bad thing about it. Everything else was fine. Like, his dick was fine, a great butt, but like, the weird, like, worst head.
Because he did biting?
No, it was just like, it was almost like
he was
like snoring and like sleeping, and I just like stuck it in, but he continued staying asleep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like a slug that slowly just like landed on my penis and then just like stayed there. There was no real movement. It was like literally like having sex at the morgue.
Cut to you talking to your grandma tomorrow. Same convo.
My grandma would listen to that. I mean, my grandma, last time I was in Chicago, my grandma was begging, because she doesn't know how to use the internet, let alone spell it. So she...
She's like, Mateo, you can talk about head.
Well, no, she wanted to see Anthony Weiner's dick.
Really?
My grandma was like, I need to... By the way, my family. Let's talk about my family for a second.
Yes.
So my grandma, they're both Italian, right? My grandma was dying to see Anthony Weiner's penis. She's the kind of woman, she's very obsessed with pop culture, and she's very with it. She has a moo-moo.
So his dick was like the gold trophy.
Yeah, and then she had questions when she saw it. She was like, what am I looking at? And then I had to be like, well, it's like a halfsy, like a chub. And she's like, what's a chub? I'm like, when you're like half boner, like half almost there. And my grandpa's blind, so he's even more confused now. He's like, what are you looking at? Why are you looking at this? His family, so like he was,
he's
you
getting
know,
like the narration of Anthony Weiner's
dick. Yeah. Oh, his whole life has just been a lot of questions, very little answers. Like, he grew up like in an immigrant Italian family, and he went blind at the age of 5.
Oh,
and the
God.
Doctors said, well, it's because there was a blood clot in his eyes, right? So his aunts tried putting steamed cabbage on him, and that didn't work. And then his
really?
Uncle said, yeah. And his uncle goes, eat bird seed. And then he was like, why would I eat bird seed? He's like, have you ever seen a blind bird before? That was his logic. I mean, these are my grandma's family, maybe a little bit mafiosa. There was a couple of axe murderers, but she wears a muumuu and moccasins. She has a living room we were allowed in once a year. That you can, the vacuum lines are so perfect.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
an artwork now,
yeah.
like it's an art form. And she spray painted her rocks on her driveway. She didn't like the color, so she wanted them black. Instead of like ordering black rocks, I mean, they have money now, you know. She went out with spray.
Where'd they get their money?
He's a judge.
Oh, nice.
My grandpa's a judge.
A blind judge.
Word! A blind judge.
Isn't that like a saying?
Yeah, like justice is blind.
Yeah.
This is literally blind.
Yo.
Yeah. He had a crazy life. Crazy life. He's a blind judge, but he's great. I mean, he deals with all of us. They're relatively young grandparents. They're 75 and 77.
Cool.
So it's good to have them around. But they're very Italian.
Yeah.
So it's like everything upsets them. You know what I mean? Like, my goddaughter was born 5 years ago, right? My grandma starts crying. Like, grandma, why are you crying? Because I'm not going to see her walk down the aisle. Like, she was just born. She was just born. But I love them. They're the best. They're my favorite.
Okay, I want to get back to the unlocking your heart.
Oh, my relationship?
Yeah.
I mean, I can lay it out for you very easily.
No, but I mean... I want to know, because so you said Dave Franco is your ideal type, because I know gay men.
That is my, like, his face makes me, like, it's stressful to look at his face. It's so good looking. Let alone his body,
and
it's stressful to look at.
He lives in New York.
He lives in New York? I doubt he lives in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Probably not, no. But actually, no, Williamsburg is a, that's.
It's hip.
Yeah.
It's hip.
Let's call Williamsburg.
We can call my roommates. They're there right now. Actually,
you live in a comedy house.
I do live in a comedy. I live in, like, now ultimate comedy house.
What? How many comics?
Just two others. It's us three.
Okay.
But I live with Sashir Zameda, who's on Saturday Night
Live. You lived with her while she...
Went through the whole thing.
Yeah.
I have to say, not only has she handled it so well, but it's so fun. I mean, it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because
oh
it's like
God.
we we get to hear her ideas that she has in the beginning of the week, and then, you know, like, we get to see her, like, costumes and her makeup and all that stuff. And we got to go see her at Saturday Night Live.
Oh, my God.
It was so exciting. It was so exciting.
I took improv classes with Ryan Beck, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Don't you love Ryan Beck?
Yeah, man. And
I love Ryan Beck.
And played my girlfriend in an web episode of
Did
Broad
she?
City. Yeah.
Well, when are we doing something? You were in Broad City?
I was in the final web episode.
Do you know Sam Safer?
Yeah.
She's my manager.
What? Oh, Sam Safer is Ilana's manager, right?
Yeah, she's both of them. I love Broad City.
Oh, man.
You know, I haven't met Ilana. I haven't met them.
Oh, they're dope. You'll obviously, everybody needs to just get stoned in this room together.
I don't smoke pot.
Just kidding.
But I do drink.
There we go. Just a martini on you.
And just a martini, please. No, beer or whiskey.
Let's try to, John, we're going to try to call. I want to talk to one, try to call one person in your family.
I mean, we can call all of them. Let me text my cousin to see if I can call him right now.
Just if you give him the phone, if John the phone number.
Let me text him. Right now for a podcast. Please.
I guess in the meantime we could call my dad. Yeah. Cause we gotta cram jam this.
I just got like 18 million texts. Guys, I'm so popular. I'm so popular right now.
So you went
call my aunt.
Did you go to the first episode? Sashira's first episode?
No, we went to the Melissa McCarthy episode.
Okay. And
which was so much fun.
So what is it like when you go there? How do you get tickets?
First
you gotta
of all,
know someone.
Well, you have to know. Yeah, we were waiting in the special line that was like you. Are we calling your dad?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Is he fine with gay people?
No, hide yourself.
Honestly.
Get in the closet.
All right.
Yeah, no, he's totally.
Okay. What's his name?
Syed.
Syed.
Oh yeah, you pretend it's you.
No, you don't. No.
Dad?
Hey.
What's up, man?
Not much.
What are you up to? What are you making for supper?
Chicken.
This sounds fake.
Chicken.
Just so you all know, my mom's out of town. My dad's the captain of the house. And when my dad's the captain of the house, everything runs a little different. All the surfaces are a little stickier.
All the surfaces are a little stickier.
A little bit. You could, like, put a piece of paper on different places, and it'll stick when you're there.
Oh, that's not a good compliment.
Where do they live? Where?
Dad, this is Mateo.
Hi, I'm Mateo.
Hi.
I'm a guest on your daughter's show.
Oh, okay. So, what are you guys talking about?
Well, the sound quality is not very good right now. But we were talking about how wonderful a father you were.
Uh-huh.
I did all the complimenting before we called you.
And then
we're also talking about dating and families and
Italians.
And Italians. We're trying to find a boyfriend for Mateo.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel about Italians?
And how's that?
Yeah, Dad,
how's that going?
How do you feel about Italians?
Italian. I love it. The last hour or so I've been listening to Andrea Bocelli?
What songs? I sing like Andrea Bocelli.
Yeah, Dad, request a song.
I love this guy's voice.
Oh, I'm an opera singer. I love Andrea Bocelli.
Can you sing an
Oh, yeah? You're a singer, too?
Yeah, I sing opera.
Oh, I gotta listen to you one day.
Oh, okay. Want me to sing? I'll sing
a little swig.
Ave Maria, gratia plena. I haven't warmed up, but I could do Nessun
That's
Dorma.
Amazing, yeah. You got the rhythm.
Thank you. You got the rhythm. You got the beat. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Daddy.
Yeah, and one of my favorite singers, Bocelli.
Do you like Pavarotti?
Yeah, I like Pavarotti, but I think Bocelli's voice is more, you know, it's richer somehow to me.
Do you listen to a lot?
I mean, everybody is different when it comes to listening to classical, but Bocelli's voice is something else.
Do you listen to a lot of classical music?
Yeah, here and there, and I have my phases. I go to Bollywood, listen to a lot of Bollywood, and then come back and listen to classical, you know, Western classical.
If you're going to listen to opera, you have to listen to Maria Callas.
Oh yeah?
Maria Callas is my favorite singer in the whole world, and she's
okay. I'll check that out next time.
Yep, she's the best.
Sure. Sounds good.
Okay, Dad, we're gonna trade you that piece of advice for some love advice. How old were you when you met Mom?
When I met Mom, 1973. So 23.
And were you good at like meeting women? Back then? I know you're great now.
Really.
Not really.
Not really?
What was your pickup line when you met her?
My pickup line was, according to her, I met her, and then she went away, and then I called her about 12 or 1 o'clock at night, asking her if we could go skiing one day, and this was the middle of July.
Skiing?
I actually like. That's great.
That's totally cute.
Yeah, so that's how it happened. I didn't realize it's July out there. I mean, it's 78, 80 degrees.
Oh, you just didn't realize that you wouldn't be able to ski? I thought that was like a smooth move of like we'll be together.
I mean,
I
feel like I'm gonna use it tomorrow, and I live in New York City. You know?
Yeah, maybe it was. So maybe it's usable.
So then, I guess. I mean, because were you honest about your feelings? Like, what do you think is an important quality to have when you meet someone that you care about and you want to try to pursue that?
I guess you gotta be a good listener, and I think good listener is a good quality.
I agree. I could be a better listener. I talk too much.
Yeah, because if you don't listen, you're just hearing, and hearing is not really enough.
I got you.
I like your advice.
All right, Daddy, that was perfect. I love you very much, and I don't think all of the surfaces are greasy. I think just by the time Mom's about to come home.
All right. I can hear the backtracking.
All right, that's a big diss in Pakistan. I can hear the backtracking. okay, Daddy.
You almost talked your. You were almost talking yourself out of me picking you up Sunday afternoon.
Well, we'll smooth that out. Let's cut this guy off, okay? Let's cut this line.
By the way, we can call my aunt.
Oh, we can?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. It is a family-packed, juicy, juicy episode of My Sexy Podcast, Ahuga!
Your poor dad.
It's true, though. It's very, very sticky. But he's very proud
of
how...
Is he still on the line?
No. No. It was crackly.
Is he
on
the
line
still? Oh. No. Do I have to give you my aunt's number? She's ready.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to edit
this
part out?
Yeah.
847. Hey, why am I going like that? 8. I hope my Uncle Mike picks up. He's ridiculous. 847-394-3579. You can also call my grandma because she's got great, like, Italian, like, mafia. This is so funny.
This is your funniest aunt?
I love her, yeah. Oh, I hope she's not. She'll probably be shy.
Hello.
Hello.
Sylvia.
Hi. So, Aunt Cindy, you're on you're on a podcast right now.
Aunt Cindy.
What?
Your name came up. My name is Sabrina Jalise. I'm hosting a podcast. And
hi,
Mateo's
nice
a guest.
To meet you.
And he was talking about you, and I said, I've got to meet this lady.
Oh, no.
Well, I said, we were talking about funny... We were talking about funny families, so I was like, yeah, my Aunt Cindy's like the funniest person I know.
Yeah, that's great.
And then she said we could call. She's like, we could call. I'm like, okay, let's see if she can talk.
Oh, no.
I figure it's...
I'm going to kill you.
Why? I mean, don't worry. You're just known as Aunt Cindy.
I can't be funny, for the moment.
Well, just read us some of the jokes you've written.
Yeah, we'll just make...
Oh, my God. I'm
sweating. Well, what are you doing right now, Aunt Cindy?
I just got home from... We had a... Funny.
You don't have to worry about being funny. You could just say whatever. We're just gonna talk.
Okay. I just got back from Javier's. We had a retirement party for one of the secretaries at work. Isn't that funny?
That sounds great.
Was there any gossip at the party?
Any gossip? No, not really.
Here's my Aunt Cindy is 1 out of 7, so she's the second oldest. My mom is the third oldest.
Okay.
And
that is true.
I mean, I don't even know where to start. Like, with my, our family is so, for example, my Aunt Cindy, we make a joke. We're like, Aunt Cindy, you look like a Mexican cleaning woman. I mean, like, do you know what I mean? It's like stuff like that, you know? And
I have a real square jaw, so I always feel like I look like a man with just a wig on.
She's beautiful. My Aunt Cindy's beautiful. She's really beautiful. But, like, her and my Uncle Mike, who she's married to, you know what I mean? Like, he's also, like, a ridiculous human being. Like, he came up to my cousin and I one time. He was like, Mateo, Brian, why don't we go in the business of making gay greeting cards? And she said, my Aunt Cindy yelled. She's like, what is it going to, like, remember what you said?
Yeah. Would you? No, I don't remember. I think I said, are you crazy? No one's going to buy that. What is it going to say? Happy birthday from a gay.
Yeah. And then it's the stupidest thing you could ever hear.
Okay,
and
so how long have you been married to Mike?
We've been married over 30 years.
Over 30 years. Okay, cool. Because this is, you don't have to be funny about this, but another underlying theme of my podcast is that it's just a nice, warm, chicken soup piece of advice time sometimes. And we're winding into the end, and I'd like to know from you what keeps a relationship going.
Oh, okay. Well, I would say number one thing would be tolerance of each other, like just know each other and...
And if you know my Uncle Mike, you need a lot of tolerance. I mean, you need a lot of tolerance. I mean, this man is insane. He washes his driveway and then puts a fan on it and then stares at it.
Oh, my God.
He walks up to, like, every, like, there's, like, he hammers in nails that are already nailed in the house for some reason. He's obsessed with, like, organizing the cars at night.
So for you, your job, Cindy, then, is to be like, all right, you do all of that wacky stuff. I'm going to read a magazine. Stay out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And those things don't bother me because I'm like, that's just who he is. And it's not, he's, you know, he has his quirks. Everyone has their quirks. And it's like, that's fine. That's, you know, you go along with it. And communication and respect for each other, I think, is huge.
Thank you very much.
All right, bye, Aunt Cindy. Okay. Talk to you soon.
Bye, Mateo. Love you.
Bye, love you too.
Oh, man. Bye. I hope to see you soon on
the
airwaves.
She was so nervous.
I was
She
nervous.
Does look like a Mexican cleaning woman. She looks like a she does, and she has a perfectly square head. I mean, it's four right angles. And we play a game in my family where we try and take the worst possible picture of my Aunt Cindy from like the worst angle, and then we send it to everybody else in the family. So we wait till like she's just woke up. Her hair is the size of this room, by the way.
No wonder the first thing she said was tolerance.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, she's being nice, but my Uncle
tolerance
Mike.
Tolerance for the blogs that your nephew has started?
Yeah. My Uncle Mike is.
Shots of your face?
He's insane. And it's so funny because he'll do something and there'll be like 9 people screaming at him for doing it. That's the kind of family I grew up in.
Guys,
I love it.
This has been an episode full of drama,
singing,
sexuality.
This is a pretty gay episode.
And I had Claudia Kogan. I've got to mix it up. I got to throw in a...
Well, you threw in a gay man. She's a lesbian. So it's a little different.
Nikki started... I tricked him. See, this is what I do in my act, too. In the beginning, like, what is my sexuality? Who knows? Throw in
that
some
was,
straight stuff.
So did you... I mean, I don't know how much time we have. Like, what's our limit here?
We probably have another couple minutes, right?
Okay. You really didn't realize that you were a lesbian until you were 18?
I mean, like... Know how it is.
Oh no, because I knew since I could remember.
Oh, okay. So I was more like, but I'm just a normal kid. I mean, I couldn't be a lesbian. That's a weird person. You know what I mean?
Meanwhile, like, your tampons are flannel. That's so stupid. Is that a really hacky joke? No, okay. I'll keep using it. Sorry.
If only you knew how true it was. Meanwhile, I just like I always talk about it like it gay things happened my whole life, but until I realized I was in love with a woman, I didn't reclassify them as gay. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, it's normal to like if your friends fall asleep at a sleepover, like smell their hair and like hug them tight.
Oh, that's so cute.
You know what I mean? Because I like I was in love with my friends, but yeah. I thought, oh yeah, everyone feels that way. Then when they started like sleeping with people, and it was like devastating.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna go spend the night with Mark Lotze and forego a sleepover? Ah, no, sure.
You know what I think it is? I think it's because women at a younger age can wear pants. They can be tomboys. They can, yeah. You know, the masculinity, femininity thing. It's more who am I? But it's more fluid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's for sure. It's more acceptable for women to be close. And
if a boy looks at the color pink, dads are like, get him into baseball. You know what I mean? It's like, it's totally different. So I think even at a young age, I realized what I was doing wasn't normal.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to be at my Aunt Cindy's house putting on my cousin Megan's ruby red slippers. She had ruby red slippers that I loved. And I went to preschool with my cousin Kelly. Like, we're all the same age. And then we would come home together and my cousin Megan had ruby red slippers and I'd wear them. I loved them.
So you like had no choice.
And then my uncle Mike would be like, Mateo, why aren't you out playing football like all the other boys? And I was like, well, how do you expect me to catch a football while running in these heels? So.
Okay. Well, Mateo, I am so happy you came here to start.
I'm happy
the beginning
too.
Of a long friendship.
Oh my God, I'm so late for my show.
We're all late for our shows. Guys, we're all late for our shows. The one train is Havoc. Good luck out there. My name is Sabrina Jalise, and you've been listening to My Sexy Podcast. Follow Mateo Lane on Twitter at
Mateo Lane.
It's not that hard, guys.
MATTEO, the Italian way.
Work it out, twerk it out, and you know my catchphrase, work it, twerk it.
All right. Oh.